my name is Pippa. I have a husband called Jonathan and a daughter who is nearly 13 years old. So she's moving into teenage territory. And as part of today, I wanted to ask you, can you remember what it's like to be a teenager? Because I'm going to be talking about maturing into the Son of God. So can you remember what that was like? For some of you, that may have been a long time ago. I was talking to my husband about this. I met him when he was 31, so he was way past his teenage years. We've been married probably about 17 years now, and it may have painful memories. I remember my teenage years. Let me move here. I can see people in the corner. My teenage years. I remember being quite full of arguments, actually. I was quite a passionate teenager about all the injustices in the world. When I spoke to my husband, all he could remember was spots and hormones. So that may be what you think about that. But something happened in his teenage years which shaped him to be a great man that he is today. But please don't worry. As we're maturing into sons of God, acne doesn't come back. So you can be a little bit reassured by that. So let's have a look at what it says in the Bible. So I'm reading from, I think it's going to come up on the screen, Romans 8, verses 14 to 17, and then I'm reading verses 22 to 23. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And then verses 22 to 23. Thank you. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly, as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. I've had a sense of that groaning of God just desiring us to grow up, to be mature sons. So I'm going to tell you what it's like to be a son of God. The first thing is, this isn't for men only. It has nothing to do with gender. Okay, the second thing I'm going to talk to you about is it's a full inheritance. It's a legal right. And the third thing is, what does it look like? How do we get there? And what do we do if we're already there? Okay, so you can jump to the first slide. If you want to keep that passage open, you can do. I think there are Bibles around if that's what you'd like to do. So it may be that you are still enjoying being a child of God. So this talk may be for you a little bit like being a younger sibling, where you can see what your older sibling is doing and you know what it's going to look like when you get there. It may be that you're not yet a mature son, so it may challenge you. It may challenge you to grow up. It may be that you're already a mature son. So what I'm hoping from this is it will help you to create more mature sons. So the first thing is, this is not for men only. So Romans 8:14 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. I don't know actually what was up on the screen. Did it say children? Yeah. It said children. So this is why I need two Bibles. This is my fairly old Bible that's now falling apart, so I don't use it very much, only at home. But in this one, it says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's it. So it's there on the slide. So in some places it says sons, and some places it says children. Well, that word in Greek is the Greek word huios. Now, huios, it actually means a mature son. Now, I read in the bit I've never read of a Bible before. There's a preface in one of my Bibles at home, and it talks about how they translated this. And it says, as used by the Apostle Paul, huios refers to the status of all Christians, men and women, who have been adopted into God's family, now enjoy all the privileges, all the obligations and inheritance rights as God's children. And there in that preface, it told me that scholars had carefully weighed up Hebrew, Aramaic and Greek texts. And so that's why when Paul uses that word huios, it's actually, it's not a gender. It's sometimes used in context for men and for women. There's another verse, there's a Galatian verse, Galatians 3:26, which uses the same word, huios. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. You know, men, you have to cope with being the bride of Christ, which sometimes is a little bit awkward, I know. But as women, we have to cope with being sons of God. And I just say to you, don't accept anything less than the full inheritance of a son. And men, please don't allow women to be prevented from receiving that full inheritance. Because there is a biblical precedent. So, early in the Bible, Numbers 27, a familiar book we all read, I know. There is a story of Zelophehad's daughters. Zelophehad's daughters were Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. Great names. Now, I'll just read what it says. So, they came forward and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders of the whole assembly at the entrance of the tent of the meeting. So that's in front of pretty much the whole church. So that must have been a pretty brave and courageous thing to do. And they said, our father died in the wilderness. He was not among Korah's followers who banded together against the Lord, but died for his sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he had no son? Give us property among our father's relatives. And what did Moses do? Well, he could have said, no, we've always done it this way, so we're always going to do it the same way. No. Moses brought the case before the Lord. And the Lord said to him, What Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and give their father's inheritance to them. So inheritance is not something that is just for men. It's for the children of God, both men and women. When we look again at Romans 8, verses 15, we see that phrase that talks about the adoption to sonship. The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Paul is referring here to the Roman adoption ceremony. He's sending this letter to the church in Rome. So they will be very familiar with this legal ceremony where a son leaves behind everything from their previous father and now inherits from this new adopted father. It was often used where there is no heir to an estate. But I would say to us, I don't know how many people have Jewish ancestry here. Maybe some. I know not all because I don't. But I know that when God talks about being adopted into his family, it doesn't matter what my biological heritage is. Because that adoption is something that God has given us. Now that ceremony is called the placing of sons. And at maturity, a son would be given charge over his father's business. So he's trusting him with his business. I've heard it said that it's like a father would say, when my son writes a check, it's as if I've signed it. There's a real sense of trust and knowing what the father would do. We see again in Ephesians this phrase about adoption to sonship. It's peppered throughout Scripture. Ephesians 1 verses 4 to 5 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will." My footnote in my Bible actually had a little, is it there on the screen, a little B after adoption to sonship. And it says, the Greek word for adoption to sonship is a legal term referring to the full legal standing of an adopted male heir in Roman culture. So we have full legal standing. We have everything that is an inheritance from God. So many people understand adoption today, but it's actually different from the adoption that we recognize, where children are placed in a family and are cared for. This is full inheritance from God. So what does a mature son look like? Well, I found this quote from George Davis and Michael Clark, which says, the likeness of the father is what defines a mature son of God. Do mature sons of God look like God himself? As I was preparing this, it occurred to me that Luke 10, when Jesus sends out the 72, is that training to be mature sons. So he sends out people in twos into a place that he hadn't yet been, but he was planning to go. So he taught them what to do. And said, now, off you go. Have a go. He said, heal the sick. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. So they went out and they came back. And in verse 17, it says, the 72 returned with joy and said, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus said that I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Verse 21 says, at that time, Jesus was full of joy in the Holy Spirit. I wonder what that looked like. What does Jesus full of joy look like? In my mind, I imagine he did a little Jesus dance. A little woo. Now, not quite the same, but I had a similar experience to this. So my preteen daughter, I don't know how many of you have had a meal with children, whether you're parents or you've got nieces, nephews or family friends, and you've noticed how good or bad table manners were. So my daughter, she loves to talk. Problem is, she's got so much to say, there isn't really time to eat. So it is a bit of a challenge sometimes we do the zip mouth. Please finish what you're eating before you talk. She came home one day and said, "Mummy, Jessica Bradford has got terrible table manners." I said, "Why?" She said, "She talks with her mouth open." And I was like, yes. Although I didn't actually show that reaction to her. Inside it was, yes, she's got it. She's got it. All those conversations have paid off. And in Luke 10, we see something that shows us that part of Jesus' recognition as mature sons, because it says in verse 16, "Whoever listens to you, listens to me." So there are things that we do here as adults that teach children. What I've been doing with my daughter, but also how I'm teaching her to ask. So when I teach my daughter to ask, I don't like it when she comes up to me and goes, "Mom, can I have?" And I go, ask with confidence. Ask with confidence, because that's how God wants us to ask. Our God wants to give us good gifts. He desires to give us good gifts. And I say to her, "I want to say yes to you. I want to say yes because I want to make you happy. I want to show you how much I love you. But sometimes I will say no. Sometimes I will say no, because to say yes would be damaging to you. To say yes, you're not quite ready. But I long to say yes every time you ask me." You know, I live in Charlbury, about 7 miles from here, and every Friday night I fill my car with my daughter and as many of her friends as we can fit in and bring them over to the Friday Chill Youth Club here. And I do that because I want my daughter and her friends to get good role models that I trust, role models of people who love Jesus and are wanting to show that love to other people. I want her to see those examples. But you see, those examples are all around us, because God uses ordinary people. I have a friend who is in India, and about 2 years ago, she took her whole family, her husband, 3 children, one of whom is now doing O-levels. Well, it's not O-levels anymore, that's showing my age, GCSEs, and the youngest is 6. So quite a risk to take her family over there. They are trying to help people in poverty to start a business and to train them how to do that. And at Caroline and Stephen's commissioning ceremony, her brother, who is a Baptist minister, stood up and was talking about what makes people go off and do things like that. And he said, "Let me tell you, Caroline is an ordinary person." How do I know that? Well, I grew up with her. And I'm pretty sure that if my older sister was here, she would say, "Pippa is just an ordinary person." I am. But actually, God takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. Some of us here from this church have been over to the Global Leadership Summit by Willow Creek. Simon's heard the talks at least twice, so he'll be pleased to hear some of the quotes I'm going to use. Because there was a Nigerian pastor who said, "You're better than you think you are. You have more resources than you think you have. You can do more than you think." He also said, "Sometimes where you are used to being is not where you belong." As I was preparing this, I just had a sense there might be some people here who are a little bit stuck. They're stuck being those teenagers in the kingdom, or those young adults where actually you're longing for independence. You see, everyone here has a potential to be a mature son of God, to grow into that maturity. And you can recognize them because a mature son knows their father. They know their father's character. They know what they would do or say. So where are you? Where are you in this journey? Maybe you're a child learning new things about God. Well, do you know what? Just enjoy that. If that is where you are, find as much about God as you can. Look to Jesus who came to show us the Father. Notice those around you. Learn from them. Be curious. Maybe you're a mature son. And Malcolm Duncan, I heard him speak, and he's the pastor of Gold Hill Baptist Church, also of Spring Harvest as well. And he said, I push my own ceiling as high as I can because that's the floor for the generation who follow me. So sometimes our job is to go as far as we can with God so that people that follow us can go further. Sometimes it's spotting potential. Bill Hybels told a very powerful but yet ordinary story about when he was at a restaurant. He was stopping at a hotel and he saw somebody there, the server, who, while everybody else was stood around chatting, she was on it. She was encouraging other people and she was just a joy to watch. And he saw that potential in her and started to chat to her and found out that she loved what she did. She wanted to do catering management. And he said, when I come back to this town, I want to stay here because of you. And the next day as he was checking out, he found a note, a card from her, which said, no one else has ever said that to me. No one else has spotted that potential in her. And sometimes that is what we're to do, to encourage others by spotting that potential. So maybe you're a mature son. Maybe you're some of those kingdom parents. You know the old adage that it takes a village to raise a child? Well, actually, I think it takes the community of God to raise mature sons. So maybe you are a teenager or a young adult wondering what's next. I think this is a time to stretch yourself, to step out. Is God wanting to just give you a little nudge? Maybe you didn't realize that this inheritance was there for you in all its fullness. Maybe you're here and you're unsure who God is. Well, this is a little picture of the journey. You know, the children of God learns that he gives good gifts to us. He utterly and deeply loves us more than anything else. And that love never stops. The love never stops and it never fails. You know, and if that's where you are, I would just encourage you just to ask God who he is and to show his love to you. And the last thing I want to leave you with is that God sees our potential. And there's a quote from a guy I heard speak called Graham Cook. His friend wrote a song, and in it, it said, God sees you in the future, and you look much better than you do right now. God sees us in our future. And he is excited. And we're groaning for you to grow to be mature sons. And I can't wait to see it. And I know there are many people here who can't wait to see it either. So I guess the question is, what do you want to do now?